As you can see on the screen, our speaker this morning, Brother Irwin, has chosen a subject that is one of the key prophecies that marks the development of time in the outworking of God's divine plan of the ages. His title is 70 Weeks, the 490 Days of Daniel. 70 Weeks, the 490 Days of Daniel. Brother Irwin.
Thank you, Brother Joe, and thank you, Tom, for your prayer. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
70 weeks, the 490 days of Daniel. The power of prayer. The subject matter is really an answer to prayer, so we'd like to emphasize how important prayer is in the Christian life. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Our story takes place in Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. And as you could see on our map here, it covered a very, very large area, and we recognize it as being the first universal empire. We have an arrow to illustrate the location of Babylon, which was in the Mesopotamia area. And the Mesopotamia area would be between two rivers. You might be able to distinguish the two rivers on our map. The Euphrates and the Tigris. So this would be the Mesopotamia area, the birth of civilization, and Babylon would be at this point right here. And we recognize from the story of Daniel that Babylon was the first universal empire. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this was Daniel's reply to Nebuchadnezzar, because he wanted to know what his dream was all about. Going back now a little bit, we'd like to mention that four young teenagers who were very intelligent were taken captive to Babylon. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego, Daniel 1:7. The four Hebrews refused to eat the king's choice food. The four teenagers were not accustomed to eating the food of Babylon, and they requested if they could eat the food from where they came from, which would be according to the custom and according to the law of which they were taught. Their request was granted, and they thrived on the food from where they came from, which would be Palestine or the land of Canaan. Coming back now to Daniel, as he grew up, he prayed very hard to the Lord. And again, we'd like to emphasize the power of prayer. Daniel prayed regarding the end of the 70-year captivity in Babylon. One, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to this message and gain understanding of the vision. Daniel 9:23. The 70 weeks of Daniel... 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holy place. Daniel 9:24. Continuing the 70 weeks of Daniel, One would be to finish the transgression. Two, to make an end of sin. Three, to make an atonement for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Five, to seal up the vision and prophecy. And six, to anoint the holy place. On our chart, we're all familiar with the two crosses. The first cross that we're going to consider will be the cross on plane P, and that's the typical arrangement for Israel, that this would be all the services that would be rendered in the tabernacle. And then we have the other cross, which would be on plane N, which would be human perfection. So the cross on the typical plane, the type, to finish the transgression, two, to make an end of sin, three, to make atonement for iniquity. One, to finish the transgression, there are two parts. Adam disobeyed God, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. The Jewish nation rebelled against and killed God's prophets, recorded Matthew 23, 30-36. Two, to make an end of sin. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Leviticus 17, verse 11. This becomes a key scripture because the Bible is really a story of blood. It's a story of salvation. And we read in Hebrews chapter 9, 22, and according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we realize in Hebrews 10:5, which is a very, very important scripture, speaking prophetically about our Lord, but a body thou hast prepared for me. So we realize in the typical arrangement, the blood of bulls and goats cleansed Israel for 1 year. Point number three, to make an atonement for iniquity, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, which is the mercy seat, in his blood through faith, Romans 3:25. And this becomes a very important scripture because you will see crosses on churches, at the schools, hospitals, so everyone realizes that Jesus died for mankind, but they really don't understand the application of Christ's blood. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, we read a very important scripture, offered up himself, and when Christ offered up himself, that includes the head and the body. And Hebrews 9:24, entered into heaven itself for us. The type, the curse of Israel ends at the cross. To finish the transgression, two, to make an end of sin. Three, to make atonement for iniquity. Now we'd like to consider the cross on plane N. This would be the line of human perfection. The antitype, four, to bring in everlasting righteousness, five, to seal the vision and prophecy, and six, to anoint the holy place. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness, my servant will justify the many, Isaiah 53:11. So we realize in the full atonement picture, we believe there will be a few that would go into second death, but the larger percentage of mankind will be very happy to accept the terms of salvation. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and confess. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. And then we're told of the free grace for mankind. Drink of the water of life without cost. Revelation 22, verse 17. But we realize from this scripture that the water is free, but it's not really without cost from the standpoint that Jesus gave his life in order for the water to be without cost. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. We're going to consider the Jerusalem conference, which took place in Acts chapter 15, verses 14 to 18. They really gathered together to solve circumcision, but really they decided the Lord's will for 3,000 years. In verse 14, we read, "He will take out a people for his name," and he refers to God. In verse 16, he, God, will restore Israel first. Verse 17, then he, God, will restore the rest of mankind. So from the scripture, we realize we're covering 3,000 years. Five, to seal the vision and prophecy. Jesus becomes the guarantee or surety of a better covenant. Hebrews 7:22. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:17. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, recorded in 2 Corinthians 9:15. We understand very clearly that when Adam sinned, God was under no obligation to do anything for mankind. But God carefully thought out everything, and God provided the Lamb that would be access for us to have fellowship with him and to receive life. So it really is an indescribable gift. Six, to anoint the holy place. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10. We have the consecration of the priesthood, which took place in Leviticus chapter 8 and 9. Then we had the typical yearly cleansing, which was a one-day service. That would be Leviticus chapter 16. Now, the antitypical cleansing and atonement would be 2,000 years, the selection of the church, which would be the gospel age, and 1,000 years, blessing people, and that would be the millennial age. So the antitypical atonement day would be 3,000 years. And we could illustrate this on our chart that in the gospel age, which is approximately 2,000 years, and then we have the millennial age, which will be approximately 1,000 years. Daniel 9:25. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. So the important point we'd like to emphasize is that issuing the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem and until Messiah, the prince. And then we have 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which would be 69 weeks. ...454 BC. I love this picture from the standpoint that I was a carpenter all my life, and I really love the scaffolds that they built here. I'm amazed that they were able to build such good, safe scaffolds. But here would be a picture showing that the Israelites were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3, this is a super important scripture. I would wish that all the brethren would remember this scripture, Nehemiah speaking, and he's working on the top of the wall. He says, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Now, the reason he did not want to come down was the enemies wanted to kill him. So he knew that he wanted to continue in the Lord's work. And this would be true of our consecration. We are doing a great work, and we cannot come down, or we cannot stop. We must continue. I just love this scripture. We're going to consider Daniel's the 70-week prophecy. At the top, you'll see 70 weeks is 490 years. We have 69 weeks or 483 years, and this would be the final week. And then 62 plus what we have here, which would be plus the 62 plus 7, 69. And this starts at 454 B.C., and this is Daniel's prophecy. And this is a key to other time prophecies. This is the only prophecy directly related to the first advent. And this is recorded for us in Daniel chapter 9, 23 to 27. And this is in volume 2, which we're studying now, volume 2, pages 63 to 72. So on this chart, we start with 454 B.C., it continues to 36 A.D., and the middle of the 70th week would be A.D. 33, and then the final week starts from 29 to 36. And the Lord has carefully recorded this for us, not only in Scripture, but in history. The historical record is so clear that the Lord wanted to make sure that later on, we would understand 1874, 1878, and 1881, which we have just recently discussed in our second volume. Daniel 9:26. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah would be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. The Messiah would be cut off in the middle of the week, and they will destroy the city. And there would be desolations, which will take place in AD 70. So on our chart again that you will see here, we have AD 29, which would represent 1874, and Israel would have special favor for 3.5 years as a nation. And the Messiah would be cut off in the middle of the week, which would be AD 33, which would represent 1878, and we have 3.5 years of God's special favor to individuals of the nation. And this would end the 70 week in A.D. 36, which would correspond to 1881. In A.D. 29, which would be the beginning of the 70th week, our Lord was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. The type, to finish a transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity. The antitype, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal the vision and prophecy, to anoint the holy place. The first application of everlasting righteousness took place at Pentecost, and this would be 50 days after the application of the blood to the mercy seat. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Daniel 9:27. It is recorded in Acts 2:41 that 3,000 Israelites indeed that came into the truth, and then we have 5,000 Israelites indeed that came into the truth from the sermons at Pentecost. So we'd like to mention that Jesus was cut off in the middle of the week, and after he was cut off, the blood was applied to the mercy seat. But we did have destruction of the city of Jerusalem, and everything was made desolate. Messiah. Messiah really means Christ is the Anointed One. And there would be three offices for this particular anointing. One would be a prophet, recorded in Acts 3:22-23. He would be a priest in Hebrews 5:6, order of Melchizedek, and king, 1 Timothy 6:15. And we realize that if we become heirs of the Abrahamic promise, we would share in all of these titles. So the mystery of the gospel age, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, Colossians 2:2. So the point would be that I'd like to emphasize now is God is going to release knowledge. He's going to release knowledge about this mystery, and the mystery will be Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Messiah would be the Anointed One, and the Anointed Ones would be Christ and 144,000 saints. And these would be the musties. The mystery of the gospel age, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, Colossians 1:26, to whom God willed to make known, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. If you look in Vine's expository dictionary under the word mystery, it has one of the finest definitions that you'll ever read, and this is, you would think that this is truth literature. The word mystery means mysterion, primarily that which is known to the musties, the initiated, from muio, to initiate into the mysteries, taken from Philippians 4:14. Muio mia, I have learned the secret. And this is a revised version. So the secret would be that God, God is selecting a church class. And there are four parts of this definition. One, being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension. Two, can be made known only by divine revelation. Three, is made known in a manner at a time appointed by God. Four, to those only who are illumined by his Spirit. I'd like to emphasize again that this is taken from Vine's expository dictionary. Foolish nation, and that would be the Gentiles. So I'm addressing a foolish nation, so don't be offended by the thought of being a foolish nation. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And this is taken from Deuteronomy 32:21. So God knew all about this even before Israel, entered the promised land. And the Apostle Paul records this for us in Romans 10:19, but I'd like to emphasize that he is really quoting Deuteronomy 32:21. I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. So we realize now that at the end of the 70 weeks, which would be 36, we have a picture of Cornelius on the left and Peter on the right. And it was unlawful for a Jew to enter into the home of a Gentile. But we realize that the Lord gave Cornelius a vision and the Lord gave Peter a vision. So we realize now when we look at the Abrahamic promise, and this would be the Abrahamic root recorded in chapter 11, verses 16 to 18, that we have a Jewish remnant, that would be Romans 11:5. We have Gentiles, which would be Galatians 11:17. We have re-engrafted Jews, that would be chapter 11:23 to 24. And then we have Israel and mankind, which would be 11:26. So the Abrahamic promise will cover the heavenly seed and also the earthly seed. But the spiritual seed will have three parts. That would be the Jewish remnant, Gentiles, and re-engrafted Jews. The prophetic time frames. This is an illustration to illustrate that the days of Daniel are very important, because this way we would understand all of the time features correctly. So you'll notice that we'll start out with 454 B.C., and this would take us to 1846, and this would be the cleansing of the sanctuary, 2,300 years, which is recorded in Daniel. Then we have 606 B.C., and that would take us all the way to 1914, which would cover the 2,520 years. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. 1914 marks the end of the Gentile times and the transition of everlasting righteousness from spiritual Israel to natural Israel and the world of mankind. Now, we're not saying that the blood is being applied for natural Israel, but we are saying that there would be a transition now, that the Lord would be preparing natural Israel. We have four proofs that we'd like to consider. One would be the handwriting on the wall. There was a great feast in Babylon that they wanted to illustrate and bring out all of the things that they captured when Babylon captured all of the items from the tabernacle, and they wanted to bring them to Babylon, and now they were bringing them out, and this was supposed to be a great celebration. But there was handwriting on the wall, and it started out with many, and you could see a picture of Belshazzar here, and they were amazed that there was writing on the wall. And on the wall, we interpret it to be many, many tekel upharsin. And this would be 1,000 + 1,000 + 20 + 500, and that would be 2,520 years, which would verify the times of the Gentiles. So 1914 marks the end of the Gentile times and the transition of everlasting righteousness from spiritual Israel to natural Israel and the world of mankind. So we have four proofs, and that would be the seven times of Leviticus 26. And if you will not hearken for all this hearken unto me, Then I will punish you 7 times more further for your sins. And that would be 360 times 7 equals 2,520. And that would be from 606 B.C. to 1914 A.D. And another proof that we have here would be that Nebuchadnezzar was a beast for the given time that would represent the time of the Gentiles. And this is recorded for us in reprint 3957. In Romans chapter 11, 25 to 27, we read, "The mystery until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, all Israel to be saved." And this would be under the new covenant. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 11, it mentions the heavens and the earth to be dissolved. So the key point would be, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? We'd like to emphasize this is a drawing of King Darius at the top and Daniel who is in the lion's den. After the Medes and Persians overthrew the Babylonian Empire, some of the officers of the Medes and Persians were jealous of Daniel, and they had Darius sign a decree that no one could worship him alone and no one else. And Darius signed this decree, and he realized this was a trap, that they wanted to put Daniel into the lion's den. So Darius was bound by this decree to put him in the lion's den, and the Lord permitted Daniel to be put in the lion's den. But the Lord saved Daniel from this lion's den. So as we go along in life, we have to realize that whatever experiences the Lord permits in our lives, that is permitted by God, and the Lord will certainly overrule for our highest spiritual welfare. The new covenant, which would be the everlasting righteousness, and this is covered for us in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, and it's repeated for us in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 to 13. And in Isaiah chapter 53, 11, the goal will be the plan of salvation that Jesus will justify the many. And we believe that the many will be the larger majority of mankind. And it would be my own personal thought that there will be those who will go into second death, but it will be only a small minority. So on our chart, we can see that the 490-year prophecy of Daniel really corroborates the chart that we have and that we see on my right here every Sunday, that this would be God's blueprint for all of the ages, and we would understand dispensational truths. In closing, I'd like to quote a psalm of praise. This is recorded for us in Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless these considerations.